everyone, my name is Dominic McKenzie and I'm a native of the beautiful island of Jamaica. I'm living in New York in the US for about 6 years now, I think. I lose track, it's been so long. And I'm with Deepika and Anuj, and this is a podcast at the end of the day.
Okay, Dominic, thank you so much for coming to our podcast.
Yeah, sure.
And a quick disclaimer to our audience. Dominic and I, we went to same school, mm-hmm. same grad school. Mm-hmm. When I graduated, it was called CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. When you graduated, it was called
Craig Newmark Graduate School. Craig Newmark. Yeah.
So is it a different school or same school?
It's the same school. I mean, just the signs have changed.
Yeah. We served in Graduate School Student Council. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which you were the chairman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my chair.
So Dominic, what was your program called?
So I did the Master of Arts in Journalism. And then after that I was done, I did the Advanced Certificate in Entrepreneurial Journalism.
When did you graduate?
Oh, man. I finished the MA in December of 2018.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then finished the Advanced Certificate in May of this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Dominic, you have I would say this like on the record, you have a terrific career starting from your Jamaica.
Yeah.
So you were an anchor reporter there, right?
Yeah.
You came here, mm-hmm. went to school, mm-hmm. graduated. And before graduation, you were a student speaker, commencement speaker,
yeah.
and now you are an adjunct faculty.
Yeah.
Whoa. So help me understand. Help me process this.
Yeah.
Starting from the beginning.
I mean, you know, I'm not anywhere near where I want to be in my career, but I think the biggest lesson that I learned was the power of volunteerism.
Hmm.
So when I first started out, I had my first, not official job, but my first job. At age 14, so I was hosting a TV show at a local station.
Really? It was a volunteer?
Yeah, I wasn't paid.
Okay.
It's just something that I loved. I loved the idea of being on TV. I had no idea what the background work looked like. And mm-hmm. I said, you know what, let me try to figure this out now. So I did that. And then when I started college, it just so happened that that same TV show was on the station that's owned by the university that I ended up going to.
Right.
Oh. So when I got to university, they're like, oh, we already know you. You already did all these years of, you know, some work with us. Come on, let's train you. So I began working there officially as a production assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about that, well, now I was being paid.
Uh-huh.
But the good thing about where I started from was that I got to understand every level of the media operation. So
right.
I worked as a production assistant. I manned the soundboard in the recording studio. I did, I wrapped cables up. I ran the camera. Directed shoots. Oh, Lord, I don't know what there isn't. Probably. I don't think I ran any soundboards for any major events.
Okay.
But, long story short, I understood every rung of the ladder.
So you were like a one-man band.
Yeah. So I ended up, before I left Jamaica, I was an anchor and reporter for both the TV and radio brands at the station in Jamaica. And that right now, the radio station is number 7 in the country. I think they're like 20. Don't quote me, but there are a few more than 7 channels in Jamaica. And the channel is now number 7 on the list of, you know, stations there. So it was a great, really good experience. But with that said, what happened with me was, even though I knew that TV and media was where I wanted to be,
mm-hmm.
I ran away from getting formal training in it.
Okay.
Because I said, you know, I'm already working in it. Why do I need to get a degree in it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But a friend of mine mm-hmm. quickly got me together and said, listen, you need to get some training in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things you learn in the classroom you won't learn on the go because it's so quick. You know,
right.
you need to get some formal training. So I came to the US for that. Went to a historically black college in Huntsville, Alabama for 4 years.
Right.
It's an HBCU, Oakwood University,
in
Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after leaving there, I came to New York for a fellowship. So the QL.
Mm-hmm.
The J School, the Newmark J School. Now, back then they had a program called the Knight CUNY J Fellowship.
Right,
and what that was, it was a fellowship for to train minority journalists to get into, you know, the newsroom.
Right.
So I did that, and then ended up staying in New York because they accepted me into the MA program.
Mm-hmm.
I was offered a sizable scholarship, and I stayed to do the MA.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a wild journey. I mean, I don't know. As I said, I'm nowhere near where I want to be,
mm-hmm.
but I'm very thankful for where I am. I'm just trying to stay in that spirit of gratitude as I go, because it's easy to complain and easy to not, you know, think about, oh, I want to be there and it's taking me so long to get there.
Right,
but,
right.
Hey, we've come from far too. You
right.
know? So let's just be grateful and yeah.
I still remember the meeting that we had. I think that was your first meeting at Grad School Student Council, and we were trying to appoint a new chair. And you just volunteered yourself saying, yeah. Okay, I'll be the chair.
Yeah.
I still remember that.
Yeah.
Like, what made you do those kind of things? Like, you are so confident, you know?
Listen, I learned in my time in this country.
Right.
Do not tell yourself no before somebody else tells you no. And from that, by that, I mean, you know, I received so many scholarships in undergrad that I was not supposed to get by virtue of me not being American.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Right. But I still applied for them.
Right.
You know, you never know. They may have a little surplus of some money sitting down and they want to get rid of it. And they're mm-hmm. like, oh, here's this little Jamaican kid. Let's give it to him. You know, don't ever tell yourself no before they say no. So
right.
I've used that mantra to kind of push me into places where I wouldn't normally be. Or people like me would normally be, I should say.
Right.
So like, for instance, being on the grad council opened doors for me to serve on the school's governance council.
Right.
The school's diversity council. And I've been able to, because I pushed doors down.
Right.
I was able to gain the trust of the dean and the associate dean and people in leadership
mm-hmm.
To the point now where they were able to hire me as an adjunct. You know, that's kind of cool.
Right. It is cool.
It's
yeah.
really cool.
But I make sure to share all of this. And when you invited me on, I was like, absolutely have to do this because people need to hear this stuff.
True, true.
It's hard enough being an immigrant in this country and being a new immigrant.
Yeah.
Especially if you came, you know, you don't have parents here.
Yeah.
Like, I came to the U.S. on my own. You know, I left my dad back home, my siblings back home. My dad was not in the financial position to sustain me while I was here in school.
Mm-hmm.
I had no help from him.
Right.
If he could, he would.
Yeah. But you didn't ask for it.
I did. But he couldn't do it.
Right.
You know, just
right.
for some context, not because he doesn't love me, but, you know, one U.S. is 130 something Jamaican dollars.
Yeah.
So a semester alone in undergrad was over $1 million Jamaican dollars. My father could not do that. Uh-huh. And I would not expect him to do that.
Right.
You know, so yeah. It's been pushing.
Right.
I'm trying to make it through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How difficult or how easy was it to be an international student?
I, by the grace of God, have made it through this, but you know, because I tell myself that doors won't get pushed on unless you try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To push it on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't expect handouts. I'm not going to sit here and say somebody should feel sorry for me and they should give me something. No, I'm going to have to ask.
Right.
You know, any Jamaican that might be listening to this would agree with me. There's this pride that Jamaicans have
mm-hmm.
that makes it difficult for us to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And it's eaten, trust me, that thing has eaten away at our people. I have a friend now who's living here who, you know, I love her to death, but she has to do that work to get her to a place where it's okay for her to ask for help, because no one coming here
right.
can make it without asking for help.
Right.
Whether it's asking for help to buy something to eat
mm-hmm.
or to help pay rent 1 month because ends aren't meeting. You know, I'm sure you guys can attest to that.
Yeah.
You've had
yeah.
to ask for help in some regard. And
yeah.
that's one lesson that I've had to learn the hard way. And
mm-hmm.
I hope not just Jamaicans, but anybody coming
yeah.
to this country, you be prepared to ask for help. It's a necessary evil.
How do you take care of yourself? How do you keep yourself in a position where, despite feeling so low,
mm-hmm.
you keep moving ahead? How do you do that? How do you...
I'm still trying to figure that out, if I'm being honest with you.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not easy, like I said.
It's
right.
not easy.
And I... How do I say this? I think I've become a different person for good reasons and some bad reasons as
mm-hmm.
well. Because
mm-hmm.
I've been on the go so much, because that's what the U.S. requires of you.
Right.
I've managed to neglect certain things, certain personal things, like personal development. And I was just talking to a professor of mine, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good conversation before I came here. I hope she didn't mind if I didn't call her name. But, you know, I was talking to her about the fact that I think I've become a shell of my former self in some regard.
Mm-hmm.
So I've not been as honest with myself about certain things because I've been on the go so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I haven't had the time to stop and say, whoa,
mm-hmm.
come on, dude, get it together. Because I'm working so hard.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially in this city, in New York,
mm-hmm.
you have no time to stop. So I'm honestly trying to get out because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think I'd thrive in a slower pace
mm-hmm.
so I can take care of those things that have been neglected
mm-hmm.
these years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just important to be honest with yourself.
Right.
And if you are feeling like crap,
mm-hmm.
it's okay.
Yeah.
Admit that.
Right.
You know, also I'm not sure what it's like for y'all and back home, but
mm-hmm.
people are looking, and I grapple with this often, people are watching, especially back home.
Right.
And at least for me, I've always been, I'd like to say that I've done fairly well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Considering my circumstances.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
But there's a pressure to keep that up.
Yes.
Completely agree with you. Yeah.
And I sleep with that, like when I'm sitting, I'm like, oh my, I'm not doing what I want to do, and I'm not progressing as fast as I thought I was going to progress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, people are watching. Mm-hmm. And there's this pressure to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
And as of last week, I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to forget that. Mm-hmm. Like, hi, I love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dying here. So I need to take care of myself now.
Yes.
It's okay for me to fail. It's okay for me to not get this job. It's okay for me to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this, the hustle in this country, man, it just, ugh. It can eat away at you if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to be very honest with myself and stop when I'm not feeling well and talk to friends when I'm feeling low and just self-care. Because when whatever, God forbid, mm-hmm. knock on wood, one of us should drop down right now and pass on.
Yeah.
They're going to replace you like that.
True.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
Everyone is replaceable.
Everyone. Everybody. Everything is replaceable.
They're going to hire somebody like the next day. Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you're taking care of yourself. There's a job that I was applying for in some state. And a reporter at the station died.
Oh.
And let's say they buried her today. They listed the job tomorrow.
Yeah.
The next day after she was buried, they listed the position.
Wow.
I get it. The work has to go on.
The soul must go on. Yeah.
But don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
While you're working, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. And Dominic, I need to plug this in. You have started a non-profit organization called Giorno Collective. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about this non-profit. So, you just started this, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Giorno Collective has a lot to do with my own personal story.
Okay.
Like I told you, I'd always wanted to be on TV
mm-hmm.
or I had an interest in TV. But as a 12-year-old at the time, because I was before 14 when I had the show, I was living in a part in a city or a town in Jamaica that was far from Kingston. Kingston is where all the radio stations were, mm-hmm. TV, radio, print, all of them. So because I was so far away from Kingston and no one to drive me in,
mm-hmm.
I had no one to like ask questions about like, okay, I want to be a journalist. How do I do this?
Okay.
I want to write a story. How do I pitch this? I want to interview somebody. How do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And in doing some research, I found that hasn't changed. People in Jamaica, kids in Jamaica are still asking these questions. They still don't know where to go. They still, for whatever reason, even though, you know, the highways are making the trips or the time between both cities shorter,
mm-hmm.
the resources still aren't there to get these kids into where they need to get to, right?
Right.
Excuse me. So Giorno Collective will aim to fill that gap. So what we're doing is we're offering students and young people opportunities to get mentorship and training,
mm-hmm.
To become journalists so that when they should get to college or get to their, you know, applying for the first job, they're more marketable and they have the skills or at least the basic skills to equip them to be the best that they can be at the job. So we're still very much in the beginning phases.
Okay.
I think I underestimated what it was going to take to get this going.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds easy, but there are a few hurdles that we have to get over right now.
Okay.
And so we're kind of, I don't want to say on pause, but we're taking things slow.
Okay.
To make sure that when we do start our first cohort off,
mm-hmm.
we have what we need to make sure they get the best skills. So.
Okay.
We are now at the end of our podcast. Okay. I just have one more question before we wrap up. What was the biggest cultural shock you ever noticed in America? Only the biggest. Oh. Give me the biggest. I know there are a lot.
Oh my God.
I know.
Uh-huh. How about you guys help me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tell me what yours were and it would help me kind of like jog my memory a little bit.
What is the biggest culture shock, Deepika?
Biggest culture shock?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or one of them.
there are so many.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the thing.
For me, one which stands out the most is just to the opposite of what I was expecting in terms that I talked to Anuj a lot about this. So coming to New York, I was getting the impression, I had the impression that everyone everyone mingles with each other and it's really like a melting pot, but I didn't find that New York is a melting pot.
I felt
that it's a salad and every culture, every community sticks to their own community. So that was my culture shock.
That's a great way of putting it, because you know, we're sold this image of New York that's a good one.
Yeah. My culture shock, okay, in Nepal, I was a really friendly person, outgoing person. I would talk to anybody in my class. When I was at CUNY, I remember the first day I was in class and I was talking to my classmate. And the moment we got out of the class, like, we were not talking to each other. You know?
Oh my God.
That was the biggest culture shock. Like, I wouldn't expect that, because you are a classmate, you're talking to each other. Like, the moment you come out of the class,
man,
you look at your face, you know, like, what the hell is wrong with
that? That was not unique to your class, believe me. I experienced the same thing.
Okay.
And I agree with that. That's probably one of my not big guess, but a big culture shock.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
In Jamaica, we refer to our professor as Mr.
Mm-hmm.
or Miss.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
And here, everybody calls their professor by the first name.
Yeah.
It took me such a long time to get used to that.
Yeah.
And I had a professor once. She was just like, dude.
Really?
Dude.
Literally,
she looked at me, she's like, dude.
Okay.
Stop.
Oh.
My name is, and she called her name. I'm like, wow. Okay, all right. I guess it's that big of a deal. That's one of them. Let's see if I can think of something real quick.
Spit it out.
So, maybe it's not much of a culture shock or a surprise. Yeah. But so in Jamaica, we do, you know, jerk chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of our biggest dishes, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll call it a gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the States, jerk chicken isn't done the way it's done in Jamaica.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Here it's saucy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very wet here.
Mm-hmm.
In Jamaica, it's a dry rub. It's a dry rub that they use to season the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done on the grill. And then they might have sauce on the side.
Right.
But here it's all wet. I'm like, what are y'all doing? This is not the real stuff.
I have to try that.
So if you go to Jamaica, and you go to the hotel, they're probably not going to serve you the real thing.
Okay.
You got to go outside of the hotel. Find somebody you can trust to go outside and be like, hey, take me to the real jerk spot. Mm-hmm. So I can have the real stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And last thing, on your point about the, you know, the silos, like how separated we are.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's more of a defense mechanism, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people are so afraid to get to know other people.
Yes.
We have so many misconceptions about other cultures, and even within our cultures,
right.
You know, we have so many misconceptions, misunderstandings, and people are afraid to just ask questions.
Right.
So because of that, you're forced to kind of just stick to who you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I live in Brooklyn in Flatbush, where there are Caribbean people all over, Jamaicans all over,
mm-hmm.
Which is great because I can always find that one thing that I can't find in a regular store.
Right, right.
You know, like a seasoning mm-hmm. or whatever, it's all there. But then we don't get to learn about other people.
True.
You know, so it's a weird balance.
Mm-hmm.
But I love living in a Jamaican neighborhood. It's pretty darn great.
Okay, Dominic. Now, we have come to the end of the podcast. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to reach out to you for any career advice, what would be the best way to get in touch with you?
Dominic, DominicMckenzie, MckenZie. Sorry, it's long. at journalism.cuny.edu.
And if you are reaching out to Dominic, make sure that you mention podcast at the end of the day in the subject line, so that way Dominic knows where the emails are coming from and he does not
discard your email. Good one. Okay. We would like to thank BetaWorks for this wonderful studio that they provide us to record our podcast. And please do subscribe to our podcast on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find us.
Okay, on that note, it's time to say bye-bye. Thank you so much once
again,
Dominic.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Bye. So take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey guys, a quick note. If you have a personal story that you think might be helpful to the newly arriving immigrants in the US, please contact us. We would love to feature you in our podcast. Go to our website, podcast@theendoftheday.com, and write to us by going to the feedback section.
And by the way, if you love this podcast, you can support us with a small donation. Your help will enable us to continue producing more episodes. The link to support our podcast is in the description below.